SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And absolutely welcome, sunny, beautiful morning here in upstate New York. And gosh, enough rain, enough unseasonably cold. Let's wrap that up and let's move into spring and let's, you know, get closer with every passing day, not just to spring and summer, but, you know, back to a little bit more of what we like and what we want as lifestyles. And in the meantime, we just keep pressing forward. And there is a variety of positives that are starting to manifest and gel. Word out of Texas that they're going to start to lay out, you know, reopenings. And with the Lone Star season in the offing, that that can come together quickly. There's actually Governor Murphy in New Jersey who's starting with a multi-step plan, and that would give Monmouth the opportunity to figure out where they can throw a switch and get going. And the pressure that we brought up yesterday with Johnny, the pressure in California, the pendulum is absolutely swung, at least, and Johnny's right. Granted, we're all, you know, watching and reading and, maybe we're, in an echo chamber of a certain degree when it comes to wanting Santa Anita to be able to get going, but it really does feel like some outlets beside equine interests are starting to say, wait a minute, why is the Arboretum, if the Arboretum wasn't across Baldwin Avenue, it wouldn't be so glaring. You know, if it was somewhere else in Monrovia or whatever, I don't think it would be such an affront and such an obvious, inequality, misapplication, unequal application of quote unquote rules the health department. So keeping an eye on that and then to New York, where yesterday we're going to talk to Boyd Browning after the first break, and Fezzik Tipton making the very logical decision to move the summer sales at Saratoga, not just the summer sales at Saratoga, but its July sale as well. Their July sale, the Saratoga Select Yearling, the open stock, and the New York bred sale, going to bring them all together. And each one is, has got a fairly select number to them. I mean, the July yearling sale is always pretty select. Saratoga is select. And the New York breds, have a certain, quantity. These days, there's plenty of, Kentucky sires that, you know, that have fathered New York breds, and they will move the whole trio of sales to Wednesday and Thursday, September 9th and 10th. And this is, in so many different ways, a very logical and strategic decision, with Keeneland starting right after, the following week, and with Derby seemingly ready to run the first Saturday in September. So we're going to talk to Boyd. We'll get all the whys and wherefores and the details, and I'm very anxious to hear how involved Frankfurt might have been in some of this decision, because, of course, the state governments, all with a very serious and difficult to manage responsibility. This is not a decision that somehow, specifically either impacts or is a direct result of where NYRA is with the Saratoga season. And, NYRA has, steadily and, very consistently said that they continue to prepare for racing at Saratoga. And the expectation, obviously, at this point, continues to be that, patrons, it'll be patron free, spectator free. And under that backdrop, how much sense did it make to run the Saratoga sale fortnight? There's all kinds of obvious positives and logistic, decision making that benefits everybody, consigners, breeders, et cetera. So we'll get the Boyd Browning discussion, and probably tomorrow Zach Madden will join us. Actually, I do want to get some consigner, pinhooker, breeder. I do want to get some of that perspective. Sid tomorrow certainly will join us, and we'll get Sid's thoughts. Everybody doing their best to work together, Keeneland and Fasig and so forth. So I'll let Boyd flesh out a lot of the other details, and we'll probably talk before the end of the week, as early as tomorrow. Not that there's, marketable change. We'll talk with probably with Pat McKenna from NYRA and get some, of the latest. And when I say latest, there's really no, there hasn't been any change. NYRA's been very consistent in what they, what they're saying. And you might have seen some of the comments from Martin Panza, about the benefit of running a Saratoga season as opposed to trying to run Saratoga at Belmont. Obviously, if there's no spectators, there isn't as much of a need when it comes to staffing. Obviously, there's certain staffing that would come upstate as usual, but it wouldn't, really racing, the racing department, the racing office, and, some administration, but there wouldn't be necessarily the need to, bring, the whole flying circus northward. So we'll continue to monitor and get any update, any change, etc. Quick rundown of what's happening this morning beside Boyd's visit. Stanley Huff. I was always delighted to get Stanley in. And, after what was a, pretty quiet winter, it seems like Stanley was, was kind of circling the wagons and waiting into the season. And global campaign coming back, and the Curlin four-year-old immediately kind of picks up where he left off. So we'll find out from Stanley where, you know, where he is and what's going on. Scars Are Cool, also a winner earlier on that card Saturday at Gulfstream. And we'll catch up on everything else and get Stanley's, you know, the Stanley's thoughts about how to manage under these conditions. Kieran McLaughlin is going to visit in hour two. And I've been looking forward to this for weeks and weeks. And several things kept, you know, popping up and jumping in our path to prevent it. But it's perfect. The Tuesday, there's no draw. And the recently retired from training Kieran McLaughlin in hour two, talk about this next phase of his career and reflect on the training side and much more. And looking forward to that. I won't make it. I'll try not to make it like a Roy Firestone thing, you know. No, it would just you know, just kind of throw out the you know, the volleyball setups and let Kieran spike them around. It'll be fun. Andy Serling, hour three, of course. Checked in with Andy, getting ready. Andy is obviously with this terrific card at Oaklawn, not just Saturday, but Friday too. The Friday action with the three stakes, including the Fantasy, the Gardenia, and the Arkansas Breeders. But both days on the NIRA-produced Fox show. It'll be big. They'll also feature some Tampa racing. And I don't know why I thought they were running Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then when I saw the Trails End, you know, that last race that they always run, the mile and three quarters, when I was going through, the PPs were late, seemingly late getting up until yesterday. But I realized when I saw the Trails End that they were running on Thursday. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday that they close out at Oaklawn. So it's not just Gulfstream on Thursday. It's Gulfstream and Oaklawn, and got to catch up on that. I haven't even looked at that. I haven't printed those PPs. And speaking of the racing action, yesterday, congratulations to those that latched on to a outspoken Steve Asmussen push. when I asked Steve yesterday about Blue Moonrise, the very nicely bred Malibu Moon filly, how's she going to do today? She's going to lap them. Well, she was on her way to lapping, and then got a little tired in the late stages. But good job by Lane Luzzi aboard Blue Moonrise, and yeah, she ended up going off a second choice. I don't know if you noticed what happened, but when they were loading, she and Badar had been vying for favoritism, and Fool's Paradise was the other obvious horse. And going into the gate, Blue Moonrise was 3-2. And she was 3-2 past the first, like the first flash and the first change in the running order. As I've explained many times, what is perceived a lot as inexplicable late odds changes, they're very easily explained, you know, considering how much money comes in the you know, last 2 minutes and the last 30 seconds before the gates open. But the video package is always behind the flushes of money into the pool. So the immediate flash might be two flushes behind. And though until the running order changes as the horses are running, the odds that the video package uses, they may be two pool accruals behind. So that's one of the reasons odds change during the running. And we all know it's a bad look and wreaks havoc. Well, in this case, Blue Moonrise went from 3-2 up to 9-5 during the running. And she was on the lead. Usually the conspiratorial bend will say, oh, she broke on the lead, gave people after the bell a chance to bet. Well, she was on the lead and she was changing by going up and ended up at actually at $1.90. She was just a tick below 2-1. And Blue Moonrise, I thought Luzzy rode a terrific race here with her. And, you know, she's only ever won when she got the lead. So they were not screwing around. Fool's Paradise, the Diodoro, the M&M Diodoro, the horse that they took from Ben Cecil, actually, last summer at Del Mar for 40. Was running at her late, but and her make no mistake, her stride was shortening. She was getting tired. Blue Moonrise, but instead she gets her fourth win, and I'm sure they'd like to get. She was second in the She's All In at Remington in December. I'm sure they would like to get a little bit more black type Phoenix. But she is beautifully bred, and she's moving up toward $200,000 in earnings. But she's, you know, she's just a nice filly. But I'll tell you, it wasn't too long. Steve Asmussen usually, when he does text me now and then, it's usually to give me the business. it's usually to tweak my nose. But in this case, it was because he was really happy to give listeners a winner, and he said, well, she didn't lap him, but she got the W. And he said the money's going to go into people's accounts, even winning by a diminishing half length. Actually, the chart margin's a neck. Anyway, Blue Moonrise. The funny thing was, everything went haywire after that race. How about Country Daisy? Here's another Country Day. Another regionally bred Country Day. This is a four-year-old filly bred by Bay Ranch. David and Tammy Bay. Congratulations to them and Ray Ashford Jr. Ashford was going to have a horse tomorrow in the Bosselman, but I understand they're scratching. Should reach out to Ray Ashford. But this is a nice little filly. I mean, you know, she's won against Open Company a couple times, and at four seems to be even getting better. And she got a pace set up. Make no mistake, the pace was red hot in here. And Ken Tohill with a really good ride, 28-1. So now if you had Country Daisy, you're thinking, all right, now if I can get somebody home here and I'm going to have a big pick four, maybe a big pick five, except that Spectactical for Martin Lozano and owner Ron Kincaid, another Oklahoma bred. This was a non-winners of 3, 38-1. The pick five paid $21,647. The pick four, the double was $2,100. And the pick four was $4,700. Unbelievable. Let's take a break. Boyd Browning starts us off.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horstman, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 20-plus into hour one on this Tuesday. And Boyd Browning of Phasic Tipton joins us now to talk about yesterday's announcement, which it didn't come as a surprise, but frankly, you know, makes a lot of sense. Boyd, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
We're hanging in, as pretty much everybody is. And, you know, one of the things it seems that I think people are noticing is attempts around the industry to work together and to make the best of, you know, what is obviously a bad situation. And this feels like the latest example.
Well, it's, you know, it's certainly unique times that we're all living in and going through. We individually and collectively we're facing challenges that none of us have ever dealt with, but we're all kind of in the same boat. And I think it is important that the industry participants look at the situation with a long-term perspective and a collaborative effort to do what we can for 2020.
Talk about the mechanics, first of all, and what is entailed here in basically you know, agglomerating the July sale, the Saratoga Select, and the New York bred sale?
Well, it was, first of all, it was it's a heartbreaking decision not to go to Saratoga in 2020. To all of us at FASIC, Tipton, that's hallowed grounds. I think if you play the word association game, you know, FASIC Tipton, I think the first word that pops up in most people's mind is Saratoga. And it was an, you know, extremely difficult decision and an extremely hard decision to make the decision that we didn't think that we could viably go to Saratoga to conduct a sale under the normal circumstances, which Saratoga is known for. So that was excruciating. But once you make the decision, we've kind of sensed for several weeks now that it was not going to be likely to be able to conduct a July sale here in Lexington as scheduled, primarily because of the two-year-olds that we still have in the pipeline. You know, there's only been one two-year-old sale held in the United States thus far, as we're at the end of April, and we've got to move through that product to kind of reestablish the order in the sales cycle of two-year-olds, then yearlings, then mixed sales, and they all go hand-in-hand together. So what we've tried to do is come with the best possible alternative, which we believe we've done. The date in Kentucky after the Kentucky Derby and before the September sale with Keeneland fits very well. Should make it easy. It should be the easiest possible scenario for buyers to come and shop for quality horses. And it will also likely, we're anticipating, we don't know all the details yet, but we're planning for some protocols and some safety and health requirements that will be different than any of us have experienced in the sales world before. And certainly the combination or the association of Keeneland and FASIC Tipton being in close proximity to each other makes it easier to establish those protocols and creates some opportunities for shared resources and to have make it easier for folks to clear protocols and keep those protocols in place while they're in Lexington.
Well, and a lot of this, you know, even if you knew the specifics of how NYRA is going to conduct Saratoga, the logistics of people coming and horses being shipped, I mean, in terms of the physical numbers of horses in proximity, essentially, to, you know, to Lexington, it seems like it eases logistics for the vast majority of the industry stakeholders and participants.
I think you're right, Steve. I mean, and the reality is, and first of all, I think NYRA has done and continues to do everything they possibly can to do the right things and to assert a leadership role, both from a health and safety standpoint of the men and women who work on the backside and are associated with racing. And I'm confident they're going to continue to do so and try to restore racing as soon as it's feasible and safe to do so. So, but our circumstances and our horse population is radically different than what NYRA deals with. So it really does create a different set of circumstances for us. And, you know, I hope that NYRA is running at Saratoga this year, and I hope that, you know, potentially there's fans there and that there can be, you know, some aspect of Saratoga as we all know and love, but we'd kind of reached the point in terms of the calendar where our customers had to make decisions where they were going to sell their yearlings, and they have an alternative, viable alternative to us, and we had to make some decisions really kind of before NYRA does on the calendar, and I hope everyone understands and appreciates that. We are Saratoga people. We love Saratoga. But we're going to be back bigger and stronger than ever in 2021, and it was just the circumstances kind of forced our hand in 2020.
Completely understandable. Boyd, what are the numbers involved? Because the July sale is a pretty, you know, is a select catalog in itself, and then the Saratoga sale is, you know, not big numbers, but typically big ticket yearlings, and the New York bred group is got a, you know, a certain market size. How big a catalog do you expect for the 2 days, September 9th and 10th?
Don't laugh, Steve. I don't know. We're going to take quality horses. And we don't have a predisposed number in mind that says it's got to be X or it's got to be Y. A big portion of that answer is going to be determined by the support that we receive from our sellers and our consigners. I mean, we're certainly looking at no more, we're not going to go any more than 2 days, and we feel pretty confident we'll have a quality group of horses that'll work for 2 days. But we don't have an artificial number in place. We live and die by our selection process, and we're going to continue to have a high standard. And I think people have an expectation when they come on the sales grounds, whether it be for July or for Saratoga or the New York Bred Sale, of having high quality physicals, and we're sure going to maintain that bar.
Well, and on that topic, the inspection process, the evaluation process on farms, that's going on as it normally would.
No, not at all.
Nope.
No, we
not at all.
Have not been on a farm in April. There's restrictions in place in virtually every state where there's horse population exists for us. We're chomping at the bit. We're anxious to resume or to start really inspection activities. But now that's been certainly interrupted and essentially locked down for the last 6 weeks. So, we're hoping that we're going to be able to have the ability to begin that process. Obviously, with some differences in the past with social distancing and whether we're required to have masks and those kind of safety precautions, we'll see what happens from state to state. But no, we have not been able to really look at horses.
Interesting. Didn't realize that. On that topic, when you mentioned state to state, how much of this decision and scheduling was made in concert and in conversation with Frankfurt?
Well, we've had very little direct conversation with Frankfurt thus far. We observe and we're watching what's happening on the racing front. We know that Churchill and Keeneland and Kentucky Downs and Ellis are all working in concert to try to bring racing back to Kentucky. We feel like time is our ally, and we'll be obviously watching the protocols that are in place from the racing perspective. But what we sure have to be able to do is make sure that we can go to Frankfurt and with a concise plan that's well thought out, that provides the needed safety requirements for sales participants. And I'm totally confident that we'll be able to do that at the appropriate time. But I think we're literally talking 4.5 months away, and I think it's premature to finalize a plan with Frankfurt.
Very good. And you mentioned some of the technical aspects, and even well in advance of this decision, Boyd, you talked about expanding the ability to bid online for buyers, and added operators to interact with buyers that are not on site. Talk about the attempt to gear up on that side of things, and we should also talk about what's coming up at Timonium, because that'll be the first next sales opportunity, because there's a backlog of juvenile horses that need to change hands.
Sure. On the technology front, we have seen in both other asset categories, livestock and real estate, automobiles, and lots of assets, online sales or an online bidding component to live auctions for many, many years. Crudgy, old, reluctant to change, Boyd Browning has kind of resisted those efforts heretofore, but we've seen the world's changed. And we know that there's going to be certain people who aren't going to be comfortable sitting in a sales pavilion. They may not even be allowed to sit in a sales pavilion. We'll deal with all those requirements as we get to them. But certainly, we're living in a world today where we may have to take the sale to the world rather than the world come to the sale. And, by expanding the opportunities to bid online during a live auction, enhanced opportunities to observe horses online in terms of, under tag shows and walking videos and things of that nature are going to be a part of the component going forward. either short term or maybe forever. But we have to do everything that we can to try to make the bidding availability and have the opportunity for people to bid on horses, whether they're in, you know, 5 miles away, not comfortable being there, 100 miles away, or around the world. So we will have bidding in place, online bidding in place for the Harmonium sale on June 29th and 30th. We're still monitoring the situation in Maryland very closely. The governor issued a back to, I don't have the exact terminology, but restoring the workplace, some initiatives on Friday.
Right.
There's three phases that the governor, Governor Hogan in Maryland, laid out: phase one, phase two, and phase three. And it has yet to be determined where the racing is going to fit into phase one. I know the Maryland Jockey Club has worked very, very, very closely with the state and developing what they believe are some outstanding protocols that they hope will permit racing to resume in Maryland. In the near future. I don't want to put any specific dates out there, but I think it's important for racing to resume. If racing's able to resume, then I think that we can, use some of the same protocols and provide some of the same assurances and comforts to the sales participants as well as to the states from a health perspective that will allow for the safe conduct of sales.
Boyd Browning with us from Fasig Tipton, who, of course, yesterday announced the consolidation of the July sale, the Saratoga Select, and the New York bred sale into one two-day event after Derby and before Keeneland, and met with widespread appreciation from industry supporters and participants. And, Boyd, before we go, I should also ask about you mentioned the process and the nomination process. Anything to communicate to prospective consigners? Anything that they need to know that you want to include?
No. I appreciate the opportunity. I mean, if for some reason they haven't nominated yet, nominations are still open. They're free. It's one of the few things in life that's free. We'll accept nominations really through around May the 8th, which gives us adequate time to get inspections done and make decisions for the sale, which will close around June the 15th. We're welcome for people. We encourage people to nominate online if they haven't. If they need forms, they can get them on our website, and they can call our office and touch base with any of us if they've got any questions. But we are practicing social distancing in the office, so don't think we're not following the rules. We are, and the front door is locked, so we're not open to the public.
Well, but operators are standing by.
Yes, absolutely. We're here to help you.
Boyd, otherwise family and friends and staff and everybody healthy and doing okay.
From that perspective and that side, we're all in. We've been very fortunate and lucky in that regard. So yes, well, that's one of the things that we have to do in times like this is kind of keep a perspective. Yes, everybody is healthy and well, and we're itching to get back to work, and we're itching to get back engaged with our customers, both buyers and sellers. And, the one thing that I can promise you and your listeners and everybody that's participating is we're well-rested, and we're dang sure going to be energetic and do everything that we possibly can through the remainder of 2020 and beyond to provide the best markets that we can and to provide the highest level of service and to help everyone get through these extraordinary times to the best of our ability. That's a 110% commitment from me and our entire team here at Fasig Tipton.
Fit and ready, as they say.
I'm not sure about the fit. I think some people might call BS on me being fit, but I'm sure ready.
Boyd Browning, thanks so much, and really appreciate it. And of course, if there's anything we need to communicate to industry stakeholders, please don't hesitate.
Thank you, Steve, and I appreciate your kind of being one of the bright spots as we're going through this process and keeping people engaged in the industry. And we will get through this, and you know, it'll create some new opportunities for us, and we'll all work together to build a stronger industry.
Well said. And one of the things that really has been evident is, and I've said this actually, boy, for, you know, close to 2 months now, horse people are uniquely qualified to deal with disaster and with tragedy. Let's be honest. It's a business that is fraught with setbacks and you know, disappointments. Everybody's lost a foal. Everybody's you know, had a, you know, the kinds of experiences that the general public, you know, is generally unprepared for. But there's a lot of stoicism and a lot of you know, stick-to-itiveness that is in evidence here. And exactly right. We'll make it on the other side. Thank you.
All right, Steve. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Boyd Browning, Fasig Tipton, and trying to make it easier for everybody by pulling the sales all together. July, Saratoga Select, Saratoga, New York, all going to be on the 9th and 10th in September. And as you heard, the nomination process basically also is all consolidated into one July deadline. So you got additional time, and look forward to potentially to, I don't know, that might be a unique opportunity to fold in Derby, the Fasig yearling sale of the year, and Keeneland, week one at least, maybe put them all together and spend a couple of weeks in Kentucky. We're certainly missing the 2 weeks we normally spend in Kentucky right now. Let's take a break. It's 20 to the top of the hour. Stanley Huff, who, you know, came back. Stanley retired and just couldn't stay away, and has done great working with Sagamore, first behind the scenes, and now on the shed row again. And Global Campaigns comeback and victory on Saturday. Scars Are Cool and more. Back after this, Stan Huff joins us at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success.
Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 15 minutes to the top of the hour, just off with Boyd Browning. And I thank Boyd for the visit, getting everybody up to speed on the sales process as it's going to unfold when it comes to the start of the yearling market, July and Saratoga, moving into September. And the two-year-olds still got plenty of two-year-olds to sell through at both the Phasig at Timonium and at OBS, and can't sell yearlings until the two-year-olds are gone. Stanley Huff, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Stanley, I'm good. And Tina's, okay, you know, we're all dealing with this. What before we do anything else, what do you make of what has transpired here? It's I say horsemen are ready for anything.
I think so. Yes, I think you know, it's hard not knowing when and if you will go to wherever you're going. So once it comes out, I think they're trying to get racing going again. You know, I know there'll be some. It won't be problem free, but I know they're all trying. I know Churchill's trying. I'm sure you know Belmont's trying. So that'll cover a lot of East Coast horses anyways.
How has it affected you? Because certainly on Saturday at Gulfstream, I thought it was pretty notable that it seemed like, you know, you've been holding back some of the big guns.
Well, we've been very fortunate here to be able to continue racing and seem to be very, very done the right way, and I think pretty much problem free. So we're one of the only few that has been able to do that. So we feel very fortunate. I was very lucky to be able to get for Global Campaign to come to the races like he did and have a place to go. So I think that I feel very fortunate of that.
In addition, of course, to Global Campaign, Scars Are Cool came back with a win, and he had already run this year. And Necker Island took a shot in the three-year-old stake that was created by the racing office. And you know, we should bring up a horse like South Bend too, right? I mean, South Bend's been productive the first part of the year as well.
Yes, he's been doing well, and still is doing good. So, we've been very lucky to be able to, you know, just to be able to keep going. Like a lot of people are just on hold, and I feel bad for them, and hopefully it gets going again, so people can get back to work. You know,
Absolutely. Let's talk about some of the horses and their progress. And, I mean, the real excitement, I thought, on Saturday, you know, even more so than the three-year-old stake, not that Dr. Post, you know, didn't run, you know, very well once traffic had cleared, but Global Campaign's comeback was the one people were focused on. And, you know, here's the Peter Pan winner and away since the Jim Dandy. You know, talk about the time off for him and how he's come back as a four-year-old, the son of Curlin, out of the very notable Globetrot.
Yes, he come back very, very good. He had his problems. You know, I've dealt with a foot problem and then bone bruising. And so he required quite a bit of time off. And then he had to stop a little bit because of the foot to grow out, what have you. So there was normal kind of things starting back with those kind of injuries. And but of late, he's really doing well, and he really came into the race in good shape. Now, I didn't train him as hard maybe as you would ordinarily because of the, but he does everything so easily that it made it kind of easy for me.
And I suppose it. At some point, Stan, you had to recognize that, you know, there wasn't necessarily a rush to get him back for any specific assignment, given the way things were, you know, were kind of morphing and, you know, creating uncertainty about how, you know, the handicap division season is going to end up being calendared.
Exactly. So as it turns out, I think there'll be, you know, if racing does resume in Kentucky and New York, there'll be races for him, you know, leading up to the fall and what have you. So I'm just hopefully be able to keep him, you know, going good, well, and avoid any setbacks. And I think he's going to have a good career. I just love the horse. I think he's very, very talented, you know, and everybody deals with a little something, but right now he's as good as I've had him as far as when no little things bothered him.
The race, you bring him back in, you know, 7/8 is a demanding comeback race typically, and certainly this was essentially, for 48,000, this was pretty close to being a grade four race, a grade three and a half.
Yeah. Yes. I thought it was a very good place to kind of see where you're at because of the competition. And he's not a, no, ever was a real, had any real speed. I mean, gate speed. He's not a tactical speed, and he does accelerate pretty good, but even the other day he just kind of jumped out of the great run. So took him a little while to get up and get going, and you know, I thought he was playing perfectly, but there was the speed, was they were running. So, you know, I mean, I know he started asking him around the middle of the turn. And it took him till he turned for home and kind of got, you know, free. And then he finally kicked it. I was very pleased with the way he finished the way.
Stanley, when it comes to his distance and how you'll treat stretch outs and optimal distance, it hasn't been beyond a mile and an eighth yet, but it certainly feels like that's, you know, that the long-term goal has got to be Breeders' Cup Classic with him. Some thoughts about that part of things.
Yeah. Well, I'd like his next race to be either a mile or 16th, you know, that would be ideally, for me, you know, so we'll kind of look for that and see where it comes up. And I still think he would be a very good miler and beyond. Obviously, he went a mile and an eighth at Belmont. It was one turn, but he still had a little issue. And in that race at Peter Pan, he did on the same foot he had the that he had injured, he shed a frog on that, which is the bottom of his foot.
That's right.
On
that's
that racetrack, and that set us back, you know. So we had to deal with that, and then getting over that, and his quarter was needed to be basically wired together and put back together. And Bandy, we had a lot of set, you know, minor setbacks there with the foot. So after the Jim Dandy, he just wasn't, he wasn't at himself, you know, with injuries. And that's when we laid him up. So I think he was about 9 months between those two races, you know, his comeback race and the Jim Dandy.
Now, a lot of possibilities, too, Stanley. I mean, depending on what Naira is going to do and how quickly they get up and running, if things work the way I think they're hoping with the end of May, got to think the Metropolitan is a natural for him as a short-term goal.
Exactly. So, you know, that's all. When you know, I don't know that they've released. I've heard some talk about some of the races from at Belmont, you know, but I don't know that they've released the actual schedule yet. But that would be a great place for him. I know he likes the racetrack, he's going to be based. We're going to ship to Kentucky when we can, and he'll be trained there. But it's not a bad ship to New York, you know, so, which we've, you know, done it several times. So
sure. One thing that I got to mention, because I referenced, you know, being a Curlin and out of the very notable Globetrot, and, you know, she passed away after Global Campaign, after she delivered Global Campaign, sadly.
Correct.
And and all she did, it's unbelievable, Stanley, all she did was drop Sonic Mule with Distorted Humor, Bolt Doro with Medaglia Doro, and Global Campaign with Curlin. It's one of the most remarkable, you know, produce trifectas probably in history.
Yes, I think so, too. That's why we were very lucky to get him, you know, and Windstar stayed in for part interest. So we were, and they're great partners to have, you know, because for obvious reasons. And so it's been great, and I think it's only going to get better, you know. So I'm really looking forward to it, you know, the even after racing, you know. So
absolutely. Well, yeah. You know, for somebody that retired, you certainly seem fully involved now.
Yeah. Well, I retired for, I don't know, four or five. And then I came back with Sagamore, you know, a friend of mine
right.
took over. And then, so I was kind of in building, you know, help put the stable together. And so I was working I didn't intend to start training again. And there was just some circumstances that happened, and I had to do that. So I do intend to make this my last season, you know. But again, when you have a horse like Global, you can't walk away with that in your barn. So unless there's unless there's a 2-year-old that just that I can't leave, I will probably retire from training at the end of this year.
Well, we'll see. We'll revisit that. We'll revisit that after the after the 2-year-olds start running. Stanley, one thing I'd love for you to, I think people would appreciate hearing from you. You know, for instance, I'm going to mention that this is a horse that has worn front bandages from the time he debuted. Explain to players and casual fans, you know, your use of fronts and you know, whether it's rundown issues and, you know, what we should know when we see a horse either start his career with fronts or get them at a certain point in his career.
Well, I personally train with 4 bandages. So there was a time when polo bandages became popular. A lot of us used them. But I had a little problem on front end with polo bandages, so which are a softer kind of thing. So I would use what's called ace bandages, which, you know, it's a little more support. And I did it for more of a safety kind of thing, just for hitting himself or what have you. So I trained every horse that way. So then when I go to run them, we just put vet wrap on them because they're used to it, you know. So it wasn't because of any specific problem. It's just because that's the way I trained a horse to get up to the races. So it was kind of not a factor. I don't usually run bandages too much on the grass, but you know, that's just I do sometimes, but sometimes if you get a soft course, you don't want to have bandages on. But again, that's just me, you know, but it has nothing to do with a horse that hasn't, like protecting a soft tissue tendon or a suspensory or something like that. It really has nothing to do with that.
Well, you know, one side benefit is that if you have one that drops in for a tag, a lot of times those fronts will ward people off.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had too much luck doing that. I think I've lost 6 horses this winter, you know, out of about, I don't know how many horses I ran, but maybe 35 or 40 or something. So I lost 6 of them, so it didn't do too much of it.
Well, when it comes to you, that you know, there's certain horsemen historically, you know, you know you're gonna, if you're gonna take one from you, you're getting one that's been well cared for and you know, is just being offered because that's where they can win. And in fact, you know, you won several over the winter with some maiden claimers where you made
right.
You just felt, you know, this is where they belong, and if they get taken. And that's, you know, given Sagamore and you know, the operation, you know, you can't keep them all. You buy a handful and you weed them down.
Our main goal was to try to develop a potential stallion or, you know, or a good broodmare. So that was our goal. So, you know, you're going to lose more on the way. Some you don't mind losing, and some that you hate to lose, but you're right. That wasn't necessarily our main goal. It's just to win cheaper races. You know, you're glad to win them when you're in there. But if that's the horse you have, that's where you've got to run. But it wasn't when they're purchased or bred. You know, you have higher expectations.
Completely understandable. Give us an update on some of the others that we touched on this morning. Stanley Huff is with us, and you know, Necker Island. It just feels like for right now, the top 3-year-old environment is you know, just above him a notch.
That's right. It does. I think he's got some still maturing to do. But I think he was doing very well in his last race. He had a little traffic problem, but so did everybody in the race. And he finished 4th I think he was beaten maybe four lengths or three. I don't know. Around three and a half, 4 lengths, I think. And right now it looks like that's him. You know, they ran Dr. Post, or whatever. He ran a good race and a very nice horse. The horse was second tonight. You know, so I think he's right below that caliber. But I do think he's better than the claiming horse, you know. So, and I still got to, he's a hard spun that still needs to try on the grass also, because some of them run both ways. So, I haven't given up on him. I just, he's not a Derby horse, let's put it that way.
Well, and he's out of a familiar family when it comes to that that Jenny's Rocket, and she's a full to Greeley's Rocket, who I remember, and you mentioned the hard spun side of things. Greeley's Rocket won on the grass and won on the synthetic, so yeah, that may be in the offing, I think, for him.
Right. So,
and he was also a $250,000. Was that kind of the go to budget?
We didn't have budget to just go in there and, you know, pick out the very best. You know, we just didn't have that budget. So that was about our. You know, that's kind of the price that Global went for. And that's where, Necker, and we bought a couple in that area. So, you never know where they come from, but
sure.
they had good, certainly Global had a great pedigree. He was a little on the small side as a yearling. And he had epiphysitis in one knee that didn't look that well, but x-rayed okay. And so we were able to get him at, if he was a little bigger and didn't have that look to his knee, we would have never been able to buy him. You know, he'd have been a million plus. So, you know, you got to get lucky once in a while.
No doubt, and that actually not a bad approach, because same thing could probably be said. I'm going to guess about this, but Scars Are Cool, Stanley. He was $170,000 at OBS October, and by all rights, he had a pedigree that should have fetched more. I mean, she was a stake winner, Ready Signal.
Yeah. Well, at that sale, there was some horses that went more than that, you know, in that, but he was a big, nice looking, you know, colt. But the October sale, yearlings, you know, didn't demand it. After the big September sale and before the October, Tipton sale, so it was a pretty good buyer's market there, and I mean, he didn't go cheap, but you like to have that kind of pedigree for that kind of money, you know, with a horse that was, you know, passing the vet and everything.
Well, your association with Sagamore has resulted in a lot of success, and you know, having you to reach out to, I could ask you about He Hate Me as well, who's kind of a favorite just on the basis of name for old XFL
right.
fans, and South Bend. Where are you with South Bend?
South Bend is planning to run in here next Saturday in the grass state for 3-year-olds. So that's what I'm planning to do. The only thing that might interfere with that is if they get racing at and if there's something available at Churchill. I think they plan to have a three-year-old on a 16th race on the dirt and a race on the grass. So that's going to be our home base. And if that comes up quick, I might not run him here Saturday. But I plan to run He Hate Me in a Florida Bred Stake and South Bend in the three-year-old grass stake on this coming Saturday.
Well, the dirt, the Florida
great.
Bred.
He's doing great.
Nice. Well, the Florida Bred has got to be the big drama, and the turf race has got to be the English Channel.
Exactly. Yep.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Now, Stanley, as always, making the most of the opportunities. And, you know, Kieran McLaughlin is going to be next. It's probably easier to deal with Kieran as opposed to being in the gate against him with him as Luis Saez's agent.
Yeah, well, it's worked out good for him. I think there's circumstances that put him in this position, but you know, it's a good position to be in. look, Luis Saez is a great rider and he's got a great agent. They had a good agent, so he's got another good agent. So.
Well, and Rich, it really worked out brilliantly with Rich DePass retiring. We're going to talk to Kieran not just about this next level, but it really was fortuitous. I mean, it just seemed to really.
It did, but you know, I'm sure he'd rather be training horses than he would be even for any jock, let alone I just. No, Kieran, and he loved what he was doing. It just that things that were happening that just forced him into this position. And luckily, it was a good position to be forced into. So, but you'll talk to Kieran, and you'll get all the reasons.
Stanley, it's always great. One of the real pleasures the last couple of years has been being able to dial up your number and get you on and talking about the horses. And it's been really, really the first you helped pick them out. And now you're authoring a nice career. And it was it's an unexpected treat to have you here again.
Well, I appreciate that.
Right, Stanley Huff, everybody. Stan, stay healthy, and we'll see you down the road.
Very good. Very good.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks again.
You got it. Stanley Huff, just great. And Kieran McLaughlin, as we mentioned, we're going to take the break. We're into hour two. Kieran next. We've got visits from Andy Serling in a little bit, Jeremy Plonk, and Brian W. Spencer for some countdown to the crown. I guess we can start counting down again, or at least count down to the Arkansas Derby, right? We got Derby, and people are getting excited about the fantasy derbies and everything else going on. And there's going to be apparently I just see this headline. There's an American Pharoah special that NBC is going to air on Saturday as they try to conjure up. A Derby Day coverage plan that has got a little bit of everything, it looks like, for Saturday. Back after this, Kieran McLaughlin.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at HorseBills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice
horses sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Sirius XM Sports presents